Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
Hello, guys. It is your host, Dr. Deanna Hancock Johnson, and we are on Talking Tallers with Type 1 Diabetes. Tonight, I am away on my baby moon, and I just wanted to talk to you guys, get deep and personal with some things that's been on my mind. I wanted to just share some of the struggles I go through as a diabetic mama, and just wanted to, like, you know, maybe get some feedback from some people, some comments and things to help me know that I'm not going through this alone as well. I know it's a lot of you guys out there who are afraid to speak up, a lot of guys who are out there, or parents who are out there who just don't know where to start. This is where you start on Talking Tallers with the Type 1 Diabetes Podcast. Let's get into this podcast. Okay, guys, so my first struggle that I believe I go through as a diabetic mama is remembering that you're in this as a parent and one who has to become an expert. And everyone looks at you as an expert after doing it for so much time. Because when you go back to the doctors and you take the baby back to the doctor, they're always like, well, you know, how was this? How was her food? How was the numbers? How is this? His numbers, or blah, blah, blah. So when I say her, I'm referring to my baby because she is all I have that's going through this. But I also understand other parents who have boys as well. So don't take that as any kind of personal way. But they always ask me, you know, questions about things that's going on with her body and her numbers. And what the endocrinologist told me is that I am technically an expert at this because I've been doing it with her. And I feel like I'm still adjusting. I'm still like one of those fresh mamas, even though it's been 3 years, not so much of 5 years, 10 years. I still feel like I'm learning stuff every time we go, every year. I'm afraid of her having long-term, excuse me, guys, high numbers, things like that, to where it affects her on a long-term basis. So there's just so many things that I think about. And one of the things that I was like looking at in the article the other day was when you transfer the care from the hospital to home, there's no nurses anymore. And you become the nurse and everything that your kids or your babies actually need. And so I have a struggle with realizing this is it. This is me. And I don't think it's so hard to understand that I'm all she got, including her dad and her brother. But I know that overall, in hindsight, her life is dependent upon what it is I do on a day-to-day basis. That in itself is heavy as a parent. And because, again, parenting already doesn't come with a rule book. You think diabetes is going to come with one? No, of course not. So I think that is just a struggle I deal with mentally. Okay. One of the other biggest factors that we deal with is sleep. We're sleep deprived. You know, I am always expected to be sleep deprived when you first have a newborn, just like I'm, you know, about to have my next baby. That is something that is really a concern to me. Okay. But it's nothing you can do about it. And in your mind, you're like, okay, once the baby gets 15 pounds or this or that, it's always all these rules, then the baby starts sleeping through the night. None of my kids did that, okay? I'm really hoping that my third baby does, because it is time for a change, and I don't know. I just don't believe in that. Now, let's just talk about a kiddo who is type 1. You're sleep deprived as a mama because you're always concerned about their numbers. I am the type of parent where I may have mentioned this already in the podcast, but I would have my daughter still sleep in my room in her own bed, and I would have her phone next to my pillow so that I could watch her numbers all night. And then I would watch her numbers, and when it would go up or down, high or low, she was right there for me to take care of her. And I also keep a refrigerator in my room. That's been their refrigerator and a microwave. That's been there since she was a baby. I never got a chance to get rid of it. And when I thought I was getting ready to get rid of it, at 3, she was diagnosed. So I ended up needing that stuff more than I thought at my house. And it became something for me to kind of consider in terms of, like, how long is this going to be like this? But in actuality, it's still like that, and she's almost 7 now. And so that's another stressor for me. That's another thing that I struggle with, is that when will she ever get to a place where she doesn't have to be so close to me? I feel like her life is dependent upon me, which means I can't sleep knowing that I have to always kind of be up. I used to stay up and try to work numbers or do my schoolwork or do my professor, like grading papers and stuff like that as a professor, just to be able to watch her numbers. And I believe that watching her numbers was just my thing, my main focus, as my excuse to stay up. But before I even had her, I used to be an all-nighter anyway. So I just looked at it like, this is what God wants me to do. This is where I'm supposed to be in life. This is what it is. So I never complained, but I knew it's a process. And so having another kid concerns me about some of those things, and that struggle is mentally there on in terms of what is that going to be like. So I recently put Sienna in her room, bought her a new bed, bought camera setups so I can just hear her phone go off, thinking that it was going to be an easier transition to do that. I wasn't really thinking about the fact that every time her phone goes off, not am I just getting up to walk over to her a few feet away, I'm now walking down the hall to her room and getting up, making sure that she gets up, she go to the bathroom, she gets something to drink. If she's low, most of the time she's going low. Sometimes it was easier for me to just be able to look at her and see, okay, if she's on her back, she's pressing on her Dexcom, or and it's making her numbers change, which I learned that trick from her endocrinologist. So shout out to Dr. Raymond. I thank you for telling me that. But, you know, if she's going through that in her room, I'm looking on a camera all night, making sure the camera's plugged up, making sure her phone is turned up before I put it on the charger in her room. These are all just struggles I deal with as a diabetic mama. And you can't miss a night with those things. You cannot miss a night with anything that you're doing with a type 1 diabetic, anybody, any patient, any family member, any child, especially. So these are things that I don't think will change until my daughter is able to catch her own numbers, take care of them before bedtime. You know, every time our babies have a growth spurt, we have numbers that are all whack and wonky, like they're just off. And so those are other struggles we deal with as a parent. Like, okay, so things have not been working as good. What's going on? I'll give you an example. We had, about a few weeks ago, Sienna had a night where she was up only one night that week. We hadn't seen that kind of time in so long, guys. Like, that's like you as a new mama wake up and be like, oh, my baby finally slept all night. And that's what it felt like. It went on for almost 4 days. We went to the doctors the next week and she changed the numbers. And we could not get that sweet spot back, guys. So that's another thing as a mama. You have to think about what's that sweet spot and become a skilled expert in understanding their pump, their numbers, sometimes taking pictures of their numbers where they were before when you felt like it was a good place or where it wasn't a good place, so that you know what to change. I actually talk to my daughter's endocrinologist, if not once, so twice a week, every other week. And we, I'm not sure if anybody else can have this kind of relationship with their endocrinologist. I believe you should. But a lot of times they send you to the diabetic team, the diabetic nurses. But me and her have a really great relationship to where she looks at Sienna's numbers, and we just try to figure out. I'll keep going, and I'll make changes on my own, but I'll consult her when I need to. At least once a month, we're changing them up. She's gotten older, bigger, smaller, you know, appetites change. Anything like that, guys, you have to check in with the diabetes team or the endocrinologist for number changes. So I'm telling someone who is new to this, who don't know that when you have these situations like this, this is what's wrong. So that's one thing that I deal with. And the sleep thing, I just don't know will ever go away, because even with her in her room, I don't think she'll be at a place to sleep in her bed. And no, well, let's say that she's at a place to sleep in her bed, but I don't think it will be a time soon where she will wake herself up for her own numbers. I feel like that's going to be a long time. I always pictured about 8, but now that she's almost 7, guys, I don't know when that's going to be. Maybe 10. Now, I'm also deciding to keep her bed in my room along with the crib for the new baby, so that I could still monitor her or feel like she has the room and ability to sleep in my room still, until we get to that place where she was, she can go in her room and she can be okay by herself. But she loved sleeping in her room when she first got her bed about a month or so ago, and lately she's been in my room. So I don't know if it's because I'm getting close to baby birth that she's feeling the need to want to be up under me, but it has been helping me to sleep a little bit better than I would if I have to get up, walk down the hall, go in her room, get her up, go to the bathroom, go take her cup or take her something to drink out the refrigerator in my room, warm it up, maybe if it's some milk or something like that, and then bring it all back to my room. And that's all done in the middle of the night. Whereas normally in my room, I just get up, give her a cup, make her go to the bathroom first, and then give her a cup. And so she's not peeing in the bed, because if you guys know, as a diabetic mama, you know that your babies have spurts where they pee in the bed. It just gonna happen. Even when she was already potty trained, it just started to happen. So it's not nothing we can really do about that. So that's a few things so far. You know, some of the things that I feel like I deal with also is just, you know, being concerned with, am I doing enough? Am I doing good enough? Am I on top of it enough? I feel guilty as a mom sometimes thinking about other things that I have to do with the home, maintaining bills, working, emails, the kids who are working. You know, like, I feel guilty if I'm not focused on her 24/7, because I feel like that's just where it needs to be. But I have other kids. So, or have one other kid, and thank God he's older, because he's more self-sufficient. Now you're talking about having a new baby where it's not going to be as the same. So I just feel some type of way in terms of that, and not sure if I'll ever get over that and that feeling. Another thing is not knowing if her pump site or Dexcom is working correctly. Like, you've done all you could. My husband say, you do all that you can to find out that what you did is not correct. So you try to do everything right to find out that it's not correct, if that makes sense to any of the parents that's out there. We'll try to put everything on, and then in 2 days, everything is off. We'll put her pump on, we'll put her Dexcom on, we'll put fresh insulin in, and we can go maybe a good 4 days, and then all of a sudden things are off. Now, I'll give you an example. Tonight, my husband called me because I called him and I said, okay, her numbers are high, I'm away, and here I am still concerned. Like, that's another thing. I never go away because I'm always concerned about her numbers. So I'm going to be watching her numbers all night, and I'll be ringing the phones to let them know if somebody needs to get up with her or whatever. So, you know, I really don't trust too many people to be with my baby throughout the night, and I know people are not going to jump out their bed like I do. So that's another struggle that I go through as a diabetic mama. It's just what it is. I feel like I have her best interest at all times of the day, even when I feel guilty, even when I feel like I'm doing other things, even when I'm attending to my other baby, you know, my son. But you think that you're doing everything right. And so tonight we were like canceling out things that we did. Okay, I just gave her insulin, fresh insulin. I just gave her, changed her pump site. And then he changed the Dexcom today. So what would still be causing her to go high? Now we got to backtrack and change the pump site again. And then we go and look in the refrigerator. The insulin is almost gone. So where is the fresh insulin that I just was using and I had the number on it? I don't know. Pregnancy brain, I don't know what it is, but it's not there. So you're thinking you're doing everything right, and you think you're following the steps, and you think you know what you're doing, to find out sometimes you just don't know what you're doing. That's just what it is. And that's the part that you learn by trial and error. Another thing that I find out I run into is just managing her diet when she's not always in agreement, okay? There's things she's just not going to want that I have to make her try, make her eat, or she won't eat sometimes. She just don't have an appetite. And I'm afraid of her losing weight, you know? I'm afraid of her getting to a place where she just lose interest altogether. So I try to stay on top of her and with all her medicine and with all her foods intakes and everything, and just keep her interested in certain things. But another thing is that the fact that when she's low, she knows that she can have a small piece of candy. Sometimes she craves that a lot more and want that more than she should have it. And that is a huge issue for me. But it's like, how do you deal with that when you know that same very thing can help save her from going too low? So that's a struggle that I have, and I'm looking forward to hearing from anybody else about this. I want you guys to also like, comment, share, leave me some information on what you think, what you're going through, if you're a mom going through this, a parent going through this. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're listening. I am looking forward to making this family even bigger than what it is. I'm here for you guys. Please be here for me. And we're going to have this long journey together, just kind of going through things with our babies. Now, another thing is managing her blood sugar all day. I promise you, we do the best that we can at this, guys. And it just is never perfect, okay? You have sprouts and moments of when it is perfect, or it feels perfect, or near perfect. And then you have moments and days where you're like, I did the same thing I did yesterday, but it's not working. It's not the same. Well, basically what I was told by the endocrinologist is that you can never duplicate diabetes, and you can't duplicate your days, no matter how hard you try. So if anybody ever has mastered this, let me know. Maybe some adults, because see, when you become an adult, you know what you can and can't have. You know what you should have before bed. My daughter is like, all bets are off. If she wants an orange before bed, she get an orange. If she wants dessert, she gets dessert. You know, if she wants her dinner at this point, I don't want her starving throughout the night. I'm going to feed her. So that means, like, if she eats pasta, it's going to take 2 hours to kick in. Therefore, I have to make sure in 2 hours, whether she's asleep, I'm still up to make sure her numbers are okay, or that I hit her phone when it goes off to let me know that she's actually, her pasta's kicking, and so she's going up. Her numbers are going up. Another thing that I find is a problem is like managing the inconsistent insulin intake. My daughter is a free eater, so she likes to nibble and eat all day. I'm glad she's back in after school because now she has a different kind of schedule, but she's been so far from that because after she was denied services and kicked out of daycare once she was diagnosed, we had to change up everything, and she was home with me 24/7, and I had to do what I had to do to attend to her 24/7 basically. And her food changed dramatically. Like, she wanted some other stuff, and then she didn't want things anymore, and she just became a free eater that ate all day. So I felt like, if you're hungry, I'm gonna feed you. And I left it at that. I felt like she was already going through so much, guys, that's another part of the guilt that you go through. Like, I'm not about to take her through anymore. I'm not about to make a big deal about her food. Like, if she wants this, she want that, they say give her insulin, they give her that. You know, I just make sure it's not too much sugar. It's not, I try to stay within the sugar-free range for everything that we can. Everything we have, I just try my best to keep it sugar-free. Her syrup, her orange cups, fruit cocktail, besides the regular fruit that she loves, it's just my main focus is always sugar-free. Then I took her away from regular stuff like chips and stuff and replaced it with all veggie chips. And then I took her away from regular pasta and put it all in the veggie pasta. Now, being out of the house and at somebody else's house, she's getting introduced to other things that are not what I had her on. So that becomes a conflict. And now it's like, do you want the care from the provider or not? Because you have set your life up to do all these things for your baby and to make sure she had what she needs 24/7, to where now you're sending her somewhere else. And she basically is about to be eating a whole bunch of stuff at somebody else's house that is not what you had. I mean, and it's still healthy, or it's still within the realms of what is allotted for daycare. But is not diabetic healthy. How does that sound?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Well, guys, that is all we have today on Talking Tallers with Type 1 Diabetes. I thank you all for tuning in. I thank you all for the support. I thank you all for the love. And we look forward to hearing from you guys and seeing you in the next episode.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.